The first Bible reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So the second reading is from John chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Apostle John, who was an eyewitness and an ear witness of the Lord Jesus, of all that he said and did, is writing this to help us understand who Jesus is. And all I want to do is to look through this verse and to see what the Apostle John had to say about who Jesus was and is. And the first thing, notice, and it's a strange thing that he says, or the way that he describes Jesus, and he says, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. And words are very important, aren't they, for us knowing people and knowing how to relate rightly to people. So what I want to do is just to play one or two games without words to begin with. So, Mikey, Alex, you're the team captains. You come up here. We had, just so that people know this is fair, we had two lady captains in the 3 p.m. So two. Now, we need two teams. Any young people want to come up and volunteer for two teams? These are two fine captains. Come on, any young people. Come on, Crespin boys, up you come. I know you're embarrassed. Up you come. Come on, be in a team. Come on, up you come. Anybody else? Come on. Okay, if we're not going to get young people, we'll have young adults. Come on, you lot come up, all right? Come up, and you come. Yeah, come on. Good. Good, yes. So split yourselves up. Pick the people you want. You go and stand over there, right? Go and stand over there. You go and stand over there. Okay, so that'll do. All right, which team do you want to be in? You go and be in that team, all right? Well done. You go and be in that team, all right? Okay, so Alex, get your team together. Come on, look like a team captain. Look dynamic, all right? Okay, I think facing each other, all right? Facing each other, all right? So facing each other. So one team there, one team there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, we've got three things that I want you to act out. We all play charades. Lots of people play charades without words at Christmas. So I'm going to give you an animal each, and you've got to act it out, and they've got to guess what it is. All right. So no words, just actions. All right. Then I'll give you a job of some sort, a worker of some sort. All right. And then a character from the Christmas Nativity. All right. So no words. You've just got to act it out. All right. And you've got to guess. So your first one, and like in the radio program, I'll show you what it is. All right, they're all quite straightforward, actually. So this is your animal. All right. No words. You're not allowed to use any words. All right. Okay. Now you're all doing it. You can all do it together. You can all do it together. All right. Because that will confuse people. All right. So that's what you've got to do in a moment. Hold on. That's what they're doing. All right. Okay. So. Okay, you've got to guess. They can't use any words, all right? So do you want to act out your animal? Any idea what it is? Any idea? You going to have a guess? A lion. Brilliant. Okay. All right. So it looked pretty much like a lion. Well done, all right? Did you think it might be something else? Could be, yeah, could be one or two things, all right? Okay, here's yours, all right? Okay. You didn't see that, did you? All right, okay. Do you want to act that out? No words, all right? What are you going to do? Off you go, all of you. David, what is that? Okay, anybody want to have a guess? A fish, but you could have been a seal, couldn't it? Because it's a kind of bit of... He was a bit like a seal, that's right. So it was a fish. Okay, here we go, all right. Here's your job. Okay, move on, all right. There's the job, all right. Okay, off you go. Okay. What do you think it was? A fireman, all right. A firefighter. Firefighter, because you did get lady firemen these days. All right, okay, here we go. All right, here's yours. Okay. Off you go. Ooh. Okay. Any guesses? What? A bus driver. You see, it's not quite clear without words. It's clearly a driver, but you got the wrong type of, because it's a lorry. All right. Okay, last one. That is pretty hard. Now, this is from the Christmas story, okay? So this is from the Christmas story, okay? Okay, off you go. Oh. That is very good. Very, very good. Any guesses?
Wise men?
Do you think the wise men? Yes, well done. Okay, that's good. Right. Okay, this is your last one, all right? Okay. Do you want to give it a go? You've got to go on. Okay. Any ideas? Could be a penguin. It could be a penguin. If only they could say, I am. Well done. They're an angel. Okay, well done. Go and sit down, please. Well done. That's brilliant. Now, the point I want to make is that there were lots of guesses and one, two things. It could have been a lorry driver. It could have been a bus driver. It would be much easier for them to say, look, I'm a bus driver. And the great thing is that the Apostle John says that this Jesus is the Word. So we don't have to guess what God is like. This is God speaking in the person of his Son. So as I prayed at the start, we don't have to be in the dark about God. So many people unclear. So many people guess. So many confusing ideas. But the Apostle John is absolutely crystal clear. He says, this Jesus is the Word. Everything that God wants to say to us in the person of his Son. So we can know him. God does not want us to be in the dark about himself. He wants us to know him, and he wants to know us. Fantastic good news for every single one of us. But let's go on. What else? And it's just worth pointing out that in the verses before this, He had said about the Word that through him all things were made. So the Word, the Son, is not some little God. No, no, no. This is the one through whom all things were made. That in itself is extraordinary. But then he says this, the Word became flesh. The one who built the starry skies then took human flesh and was born as a baby and grew into a man. God become man. And Jesus eats and he sleeps and he weeps. He knows what it's like. God knows what it's like to be a human being. He has been in this world. He has experienced what you and I experience. He weeps. He knows pain. He's tempted. That is the fantastic good news of Christmas, that God has become man and come into our world. He became flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. He made his dwelling among us. Actually, it's quite a strange phrase that he made his dwelling among us. So I want to demonstrate. If anybody want to come and help me with this, I need one more volunteer just to come and help. You might be in for a bit of a surprise. Yeah, come on, Tom Budenberg. Come and put this up. We're in with the older ones. You want to put that up, right? Come and do it here, right? So you know what's going to happen, all right? So undo it. Yeah, yeah. And then take it out. And take it out. And just let it go. Tents are so much easier these days, aren't they? You know, the old days, you have to get guy ropes out into it. Thank you, Tom. That's brilliant. And that really is fantastic. It's so much easier these days. All right? And that phrase, he made his dwelling among us, literally, kind of, it's the idea of he pitched his tent. God came and tabernacled amongst us in the person of the Word. He pitched his tent. What's that talking about? And John is very deliberate in saying that. And it's picking up in the Old Testament where God had said to his people as they went around in tents in the desert, I will come and live in a tent with you. And he had been in a tabernacle and he'd said, I will dwell with you. And as you move, as you go around in the desert, I will go with you and I'll protect you and I'll provide for you. And I'll also give you pardon as you bring sacrifices to me so that your sins can be forgiven. And that tent became a temple. And God said, I'll dwell in that temple. But all of that was just preparing for the really big thing when God himself would come and live amongst us. As a human being, he made his dwelling amongst us. He pitched his tent. He tabernacled amongst us. This is the wonder and the glory of the Christian faith. And God does that because he wants to know us, each one of us. It's fantastic. We're going to think of two or three more things after we've sung a song. So we're going to sing See Here Things. Just we learn from this one verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The one and only, the one and only Son who's come from the Father. The Father, God the Father, sent his divine Son, his one and only Son, into this world. Why did he do that? Well, let me ask you, how have you treated the one and only Son? I've got two sons. If I was to introduce you to them, I would be grieved. I'd be offended if you ignored them. This is God's one and only Son through whom the world was made. How have we treated Jesus? You see, there's a problem each one of us has. The Bible says that we turn away from God, we break his laws, we're separated from him. But the thing that really shows us what our hearts are like is the way that we treat God's one and only Son. This passage, actually, if you look to the verses beforehand, if you look at them later, you'll see it talks about how we receive him or whether we reject him. And the question is, how have we treated God's one and only Son? As I say, if I introduced you to one of my sons and you then ignored him, I'd be rightly offended. Indeed, I could be rightly angry that you'd been so rude to do that. How do we treat Jesus, I wonder? Well, is it like we do with the nativity child? We do have a baby Jesus in this. Here he is. But do we stick Jesus back in the box and we forget about him and we stick him in the cupboard and ignore him? This is God's one and only Son who he sent into the world to rescue each one of us back into a right relationship with himself. The way we treat Jesus actually shows what's really in our hearts. Do we want this Jesus? We should do. Can I ask you, how do you treat Jesus? It's a diagnosis, really. It shows us what our hearts are like. Are you saying, I need this Jesus? The wonderful thing is, he comes, look, full of truth, Jesus, full of truth. The answer to questions about God, he makes God known. The answer to questions about ourselves, who we are, why we're here, and how we as sinful humans can relate to him. We really should be banished from God's presence. But in his love, he doesn't want that. So he sends his Son into the world. And this Son comes full of grace, a gift. Here's a gift. Would you like my gift, Toby? Would you like my gift? That's £10, please. It's worth £10, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be odd, wouldn't it, tomorrow, if we gave the gifts and somebody said, give me £10, give me £20. We love free gifts. It is a free gift that we want. And this idea of Jesus being full of grace, love and forgiveness freely given to undeserving sinners like us. Freely given to every single person, but at the cost for Jesus. It cost Jesus his death. That's the only way he can rescue us, pay the price for our sin, and bring us back into a right relationship with God. The one and only Son who comes full of truth and full of grace, wanting to rescue us back into a right relationship with God so we know him and his love and purpose and meaning and forgiveness. And John says, we've seen his glory. It is an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? That the God who made this world also came and lived amongst us as a man and then went to die on the cross for our sins. That is extraordinary. But it's not something done on the quiet. John says, he and others have seen his glory. We saw it. We heard it. We were with him. He says in another place, we touched him. So John and many others saw and heard. Can I encourage us this Christmas not to put Jesus back in the box? Let him have his rightful place in your life. He is the one and only Son, the one who longs to give you light and life and forgiveness and for you to know God's love. It may be that you think, well, I need to think about these things more. I know I shouldn't put Jesus back in the box. Will you find out more? Which way is your heart going? Is it going towards finding out more and wanting to follow? Or is it, actually, for the rest of the year, I just want to put Jesus back? But he's God's one and only Son. What will it be? Please do find out more about Jesus. Please do meet with us again. We love to welcome people. We love to help people to think about what it means to trust and to follow Jesus. We do have a course, Christianity Explored. There are some details of it on this red card. There are some red cards around. Lots of literature at the back to help people to think about more. Do have a word with me later. Let's stand to sing our final great